Stanley Cup, thanks to Elgin and Joanne Gano. They gave me this Stanley Cup, so I am cool. Or, what do they call it? There's some other, Slay, I'm Slay. But anyway, we got the Stanley Cup here, and praise the Lord. I guess we did give Alicia something. I was talking to Brother Eric, and Brother Eric said to me, you're giving my wife time away from you, Pastor. And I told her that, and she said, and time away from my husband. I guess she's grateful to have us both gone and get a little break from whatever it is that we bother her with. So that is a blessing as well. And I did appreciate the testimonies and our youth group. It's a good time. And we believe that this is the church to be. It's a great youth group, great youth leaders, great church, and great ministry here. So thank God for our church. Amen and amen. And now that everybody's done, Robert Booth has taken me up. He's leaving. I hope you have your King James Bible here. We've been doing a study on Wednesday night, but I want to do it again tonight to review a little bit and go forward. And we'll just do a little bit of this tonight. Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And we've been teaching a message series. This will be the fourth one on Christ Teaches You Concerning His Two Comings and His Kingdom. Christ Teaches You. It's a teaching message tonight. So there'll be some interaction from the men, as I usually do when I'm doing a teaching message. This morning was a preaching message. This evening will be just a teaching. And I'd like you to go to Luke 17. And we've already taught on his teaching on his kingdom. And we said it's misunderstood. So go to Luke 17. It's important you have your Bible open. You read the scripture. Got the Bible verses posted. And it says here, Luke 17. And I want you to look at verse 20 again. We'll just review this quickly. It says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So what Jesus was teaching was right or wrong. Jesus was teaching that when the kingdom of God comes, you won't be able to see it visually. You won't be able to touch it. It doesn't come with observation. What Jesus was teaching is now that the Jews have rejected the kingdom, that the kingdom of God is going to be in your heart only. And so there's just a spiritual kingdom. That's what Jesus was teaching, right or wrong. And one of the men, raise your hand if you could tell me, is that right or wrong? Brother Matthew, is that right or wrong, what I just said?
Wrong, sir.
Wrong. He said the kingdom of God, notice that, should come, and it cometh not with observation. That's baloney to say that it's just a spiritual kingdom within you. Here's why it's baloney. Because he took Peter, James, and John, and he said to them, you're not going to die till you see the kingdom of God. And then he took them to a mount. He was transfigured like he's going to be in his coming kingdom. And he saw Elijah, who's going to announce the kingdom during the Great Tribulation. And he saw Moses. And it was all with observation. The kingdom of God, when Christ comes back, the Bible says the sign of his coming is the darkened sky will be lightened. It will come with observation. So the question is, why did he say the kingdom of God is within you? Well, let me just say real quickly here, he was talking to what people? One of the men tell me, who was he talking to at this point? And that's in verse 20. Raise your hand if you know, who was he talking to? All right, let's go to Brother Matthew. He's right here.
The religious leaders called the Pharisees.
Yeah, the religious leaders, his enemies called the Pharisees. So when he said the kingdom of God is within you, he was talking to them. He didn't mean it's going to be in their heart, because he said in your heart, you're like whited sepulchers. Inside of you is rotting flesh. You have bad hearts. You're wicked people. The kingdom of God isn't within the Pharisees. He wasn't talking about that. So when he was saying the kingdom of God is within you and cometh not with observation, the Pharisees thought they were going to be the big rulers in the kingdom. He was saying, you're not even going to see the kingdom coming because you've rejected it. It's postponed. And the kingdom of God is within you. What he meant by that, it's in your midst. It's within your nation in the person of the king. And his disciples who've accepted it, they are the forerunners of the kingdom that you're rejecting. He's not talking about Christ's switch now to the kingdom is going to be the spiritual reign of Christ in your heart. No, we are in the world. We're not of it. We're looking forward to the coming kingdom. That is a misunderstood scripture, and I hope you understand it. Now, we are getting into his comings. His second coming primarily, but he mentions his first coming. And keep in mind that even his disciples thought that he was only coming once. And he was going to set up his kingdom. And they were going to rule with him in his kingdom. They didn't know he was going to die. They didn't know he was going to be mocked. When he was, remember, they were broken. They were their faith was shattered. He had to rebuild their faith. He had warned them. He had told them he's going to die. They weren't getting it. And so look with me at Luke 17. This is all review. Verse 22 says, and he said unto his disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. So what he's saying there is that he's going to leave. After his death, burial, resurrection, we know, he's going to leave, and his disciples are going to desire to see him come back. They're going to desire to be with him. And we're in those days right now. Christ is in heaven. We're waiting for him to come back. I'm glad I'm saved, but I'm looking forward to his second coming, because we live in a wicked world. And realize that this world is not our home. We're just passing through here. And I couldn't help but think when Jose was suddenly taken out of this world this week at 25 years of age, that this world is temporary. We're just passing through. And he says, you know, the longer you live in this world, the more you're going to desire to see the Lord come back. Because when the Lord comes back, beloved, he's going to judge this world and set up his kingdom. And so don't think this world is the kingdom. No, it is not. We don't believe in dominion theology and all of that. So that's in verse 22. And then he says in verse 23, and they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. Verse 24, look at that. For as the lightning that shineth out of one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also be the Son of Man in his day. Now he's looking forward to the end of our church time, our church dispensation. And what period of time at the end of the church dispensation, one of the men tell me, is he talking about here when he says, when they say to you, come out, don't come out. You stay right where you are and don't come out. Brother Z.
Great tribulation.
The great tribulation. Because, see, during the great tribulation, it will be right in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel, the 7 years, when the beast arises, the Antichrist arises, disciples of Christ who are in Jerusalem, right where the temple abomination is put, they're going to flee because Christ said, get out of there. And they're going to hide in the wilderness of Judea and in southern Jordan. And as this thing spreads worldwide, I believe there'll be people hiding. I believe there'll be disciples of Christ hiding. And I believe that. I personally believe that, you know, we saw the hiding place and how it was with Hitler. And I believe Hitler is coming back. And, you know, we say, wow, the church, we're not appointed to wrath. That's not the wrath of God.
Right.
The great tribulation is not the wrath of God. You don't know your Bible. I've been studying it. The wrath of God does not start until after the tribulation. Read Revelation 6 about the martyrs under the altar that are martyred during the great tribulation. It's not until the opening of the sixth seal in Revelation chapter 6 that it says, now is his wrath come. And it's signified by darkness when he cuts short the great tribulation because he's had enough and he's going to cut it short. But listen, Jesus said in the world you'll have tribulation. There is a great tribulation. I don't know if it'll be in our day, but hey, I'm told when you get to be old, you might have to go through a tribulation of old age. I'm not there yet, but I've heard it. And it could be tough. But God gives you the grace to go through it. Amen. And that happens in our lives. And there is a tribulation to come. But he's saying, if you're in hiding during that time, if he's put you in hiding, don't come out. Why? Because the beast will have the Jewish Antichrist and they'll say, come out. Come out. The kingdom of God is right here. It's in Babylon. We have a wonderful, wonderful Marxist globalist system where you'll have everything. Come on out. And the Lord said, no, don't. He said, the king will come back when the light shines and you will see me in the sky. It's not going to be closed, just disappear, and they lay on the ground like I saw this Tim LaHaye movie recently. No, it's not going to be that way. Everybody's going to see. It'll be dark. There'll be earthquake. It'll be shaking. And then the Lord will come back and he'll send his angels and people will see angels. And they'll see the bodies of believers be glorified and lifted up to meet the Lord in the air. And wow, that is what the Lord is talking about here in verse, notice this, 23 and 24, the great tribulation. I hope you understand it. Brother Matt said he understands it now. You got to get this, you got to get your brain washed to understand it. And he says in verse 25, but first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. What? Now remember, he was talking to the Pharisees. But after he talked to the Pharisees about the kingdom of God being in their midst, then the Bible says in verse 22, he was talking to his disciples. Now, why do you think he said to them that first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation? He's saying, first, I've got to go through my great tribulation. And he had to suffer. And he didn't want them to be stumbled by that. Amen? And, of course, they were for a time, but he restored them, and they came back. And after his resurrection, he restored them and then sent the Holy Spirit and began the last day harvest that we're in right now, gathering people in to get saved. And we need to tell people about these things. Amen? And tell them the truth. And so now I just want to look at some new material tonight with you. And I want to say to you that Christ, after this, gives you two Bible illustrations, listen to me, of the second coming and the rapture, when you're gathered by the angels to himself to help you be prepared for that time. He gives, listen, two Bible illustrations of this time when he's going to come back and when he's going to rapture you to meet the Lord. And we know that that is when he cuts the tribulation short, but he's going to give you two illustrations of it. And so let's look at those in Luke 17, 26 and 27. And you follow as I look with you at this. 26 says in Luke 17, and it as it was in the days of Noe, which is Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. What is he talking about? The second coming, the days of his coming. By the way, his second coming, he doesn't have two second comings like you've heard. One is the rapture and we're caught up, and the other second coming is after the judgment seat of Christ, he comes back down to earth, and that is his second coming with glory, his first one. No, there's one second coming. But he gets a lot of things done during that second coming. That's why it's called days, plural. It will take place over days, over weeks. By the way, his first coming took place over days. Now, the Greek word for second coming that illustrates what I'm saying is the word parousia. He has a lot of different words, erkomai and epiphania and apocalypsis and all these Greek words. And they say different things, but the word parousia means he'll come and the first thing he'll do is rapture us out of this world. But then he will accomplish a lot of other things, and that's what parousia means, coming and continue. It's like Daniel and Brooke and the family, they're coming here, and it's not going to be one day and they're gone. They're going to do something tomorrow, and something Tuesday, something when they have an itinerary, a plan, a general plan, what they're going to do. And that's the way it is when the second coming. And so he's using the illustration of Noah to illustrate these things that he is talking about, and so the rapture represents here, listen, Noah going into the ark and the flood coming down on the world. Now, it's interesting, the Bible says that on the same day that Noah went into the ark, first of all, he got all the animals in and everybody got in, and the last one to get in was Noah and his family. And when they got in, the door was shut. Listen, the same day it says when they got in, what happened? The rain fell. The flood came. Now, the flood represents what? The troubles from man or trouble from God?
Trouble from God.
The wrath of God. That right there tells you that it's the wrath of God that we escape. 1 Thessalonians 5 says we're not appointed to wrath. Whose wrath? God's wrath.
Not
the seals. It's the wrath of God that is contained in the scroll. The seals are prior events to the wrath of God. And so we're going to be raptured out somewhere during the second half of the 7 years when he cuts short this great tribulation with cosmic darkening. And then the light appears, and then he sends his angels and gathers the elect. That will be on the same day that we're raptured out, just like Noah when he got in that ark. On the same day, the wrath of God fell on this world and judged this world. And so you're not getting out of here until the same day that the wrath of God falls on this world. It's very clear from this illustration. Now, I want to clear up something else a lot of people are confused about, and I would like you to look with me at this thing about Noah, and look what it says in verse 27. When Noah was in the ark, which is like the rapture, or just before he got in the ark, which is like the rapture, said they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given a marriage. Now watch this. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Who are they? The world. And now people say, yeah, it's the days of Noah. So shall it be. They're going to be eating, man. They're going to be drinking. They're going to be boozing. They're going to be partying. Well, that may be, but that's not what Christ is teaching here. He's just saying they're going to eat. I eat every day. I like food. I ate today. My wife had a delicious meal. Wasn't that good? I drink. I don't drink booze, but I drink. And if you drink booze, you're an idiot. I got a lot of idiots, I know. But I don't drink booze. There's two kinds of wines in the Bible. There's alcoholic, non-alcoholic. But that's not what Christ is preaching against here. And I eat, I drink. I gave Brooke away to Daniel in marriage a few years ago in this church. I gave Amy away to Don a few years ago in this church. And there's nothing wrong with that. Marrying, giving in marriage. That's what he's talking about. Fathers giving away their daughters in marriage. In other words, what is he saying? He's saying that right up until the day when Noah went into the ark, and on that very day the flood came, that's the way it's going to be when I come back. The world is going to be oblivious. You may be preaching and things, but you say, well, wait a minute, we're in the midst of the great tribulation. How can they be oblivious to what's going on? What's the answer to that? How can they be oblivious right into the day? How many of... I'll let Kyle say something. Go ahead, Kyle.
Because they're spiritually discerned and not able to understand Scripture.
Exactly. How many have heard of the Holocaust? In Germany. Happened just before I was born. You know, in Germany, there were people, and I've watched films on this and everything, there are people that lived in Germany right outside of Auschwitz, right outside of Treblinka, right outside of Dachau, right outside of all this Holocaust, this great tribulation, so to speak, on the Jews, and they didn't know anything was going on, or at least they turned a blind eye to it, and that's the way it's going to be. The globalists are going to be thrilled. Wow, we finally got our socialist, Marxist, one world government. This is great. We love it. We don't have to have any cash. We could buy and sell without cash, and everybody's health care is taken care of. It's not even going to last for 3.5 years. And everybody takes that mark as going to hell. They show they've not been saved. But they're going to be just happy for however long that lasts, 2.5 years or however long it lasts. It won't be 3.5 years, it'll be cut short. They're going to think everything's fine. Right up until the day, all of a sudden, man, the sky's going to go dark. All of a sudden, the light's going to shine. And what does it say in Matthew 24? The people of the world are going to mourn, they're going to cry. Oh! It reminds me of CNN when Donald Trump got elected in 2016. Now already they're crying. I see a CNN. How many have seen clips of these CNN info babes crying? Ah, Trump, they're good. They're so ticked off that Trump might get elected. Boy, that's... That, if they respond that way to Donald Trump, how are they going to respond when King Jesus shows up again? And he's not going to show up getting crucified. He's going to come with power and glory. Amen. And they're going to be like really mourning and grieving. And the Bible says they're going to go into the, read Revelation 6. Brother Bob, you know this, they're going to go into the prepper holes to try to get in there. I'd like to see you hide from Jesus. You talk about that Moab bomb. How many have heard of that Moab bomb that we've got? It can bomb people out when they're underground, you know. And boy, I wouldn't try to hide from Jesus when the wrath comes. You can run, but you can't hide. And it's going to come down on this world on the very day that we get raptured. And that's what Noah teaches us here. That's what Jesus is teaching us here. And by the way, if a person has heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we go into the 70th week, and they hear the gospel, and then the beast image is put in the temple, and we're called upon to worship the beast and take his mark, just like a lot of dumb people, and I don't want to insult anybody here, but you were dumb if you took the jab. You just were. Because they were injecting all kind of poison into you. And you took it. Don't ever do that with the mark of the beast. Don't ever do that. That wasn't the mark of the beast, but it was a warm-up. I used to say, you know, they put these mask mandates and everybody wear their mask, and I said, there's only one difference between mask and mark. One letter. We went to a Chinese restaurant. Remember that, Matt? We go up there in the Chinese restaurant. They say, well, you have to put the mask on. And we say, no, we're not putting the mask on. We're going down here to the Mexican restaurant. We went in there and got our food. And after that, they took the mask mandate off. But worse than that's coming. Amen? Worse than that's coming. It's just a warm-up. And all I'm trying to say is that, you know, the Lord says if you hear the gospel and then the image of the beast is in that temple in Jerusalem, it's going to be a literal temple and it'll be rebuilt. When that, and you'll be here for it, by the way. Don't think you're out of here when that, you know, people think they're out of here. Their faith is going to be like, oh, what's going on here? I'll tell you what's going on. You'll be here. If we live that long, I may die before, I don't know. But if we live that long, then you don't bow down to the beast. You don't take his mark. Because your faith is in the King of Kings, not in some clone of Hitler coming back at first incognito. Your faith is in the King of Kings. And you put your trust in him, and you serve him, and he will, if he's going to preserve you and protect you, he will, and he will protect people during that time. But other people, he'll let them have a martyr's death to the glory of God. And God's choice is there. But somebody that's heard the gospel, you know, you see these Left Behind movies, they hear the gospel, then everybody gets raptured in their family, then they get saved. No. Everybody that's heard the gospel will be lied to and believe the lie because they rejected the truth. Read it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul wrote about that. And so this is the first illustration, the illustration of Noah. I'll give you one more just to show it jives and we'll be done. And that is the next one, which is Lot. So let's look at Lot in verse 28. It says, likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, right? They drank, they bought, they sold. Anything wrong with buying, Bobby? How about baseball cards and other cards? Anything wrong with that? I was praying for you. I hope you did good. He went to Philly. They bought, they sold, they planted. Anything wrong with planting? No, it's a good idea. They builded. But now watch this. Here's verse 29. But the what? Same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, destroyed them all. Is that the wrath of man or the wrath of God when fire comes from heaven?
Wrath of God.
It's the wrath of God. That thing is deader than a doornail. You want to say that again? It's the what?
Wrath of God.
Amen. It's the wrath of God. I think it's on again. It's the wrath of God. The same day that Lot got, listen, raptured out of Sodom. What did God send to get Lot out? Angels. Who's he going to send to take us up to the Lord? Angels. Read it. Oh, you say that's just Matthew 24. It's just for unsaved Jews. No, it was given to saved apostles who were the foundation of the church. And all doctrine in the New Testament is built on the doctrine of Christ and then the apostles. And it goes together. Don't try to dichotomize that for me. You don't fool me. So angels took Lot out of Sodom. And then the same day he went out, the wrath of God fell. And I can't wait to Wednesday night to tell you about Lot's wife and how this ties in. There is some tremendous teaching there. But I'm going to wrap it up right now and end it. Now, you come back Wednesday, and I want to give you some more. You say, I don't know if I'm going to use this. Listen, we're in a relay race. I'm relaying this to you. If I'm out of here before all this happens through death, that's fine. I've done my part. I pass it on to you, and you'll pass it on to the next guy. But I'm not going to go along with the Niagara Conference. I'm not going to go along with Dallas Seminary like a lot of fundamentalists did. Men that I highly respect and love, and we respect them, and I don't separate from them over this. But I will teach the truth in my church. Because I'm no pope, but I'm the pastor of this church. And I'm responsible for the teaching. If some guy invites me into his church, I'm not going to teach this. No, I'm not. Not if he's not teaching it. But I will teach it here. Amen. And amen. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed and eye closed. And